I'm Silvahara Pettion. Welcome to my show. We talk ordinary people, extraordinary stories, living life on their own terms. Hello, everybody. I'm Silvahara Pettion. Welcome to another edition of the Silvahara Pettion Show. Today, we have a very important guest, and we're going to be talking about a very important topic. It is absolutely necessary for us to stay informed, to stay engaged, and to participate in what is happening in our communities, no matter who it's happening to. And 2020-2021 has obviously been very significant in having these conversations. As many of you have been watching on your TV screens, reading on your phones, and watching the news, many of us have witnessed this in our own communities and among our friends. There has been a rise in the number of reports of violence against Asian Americans across the country. In Georgia, we saw a man allegedly shooting and killing 8 people, 6 of whom were Asian Americans. We have seen physical violence from coast to coast, from New York all the way to San Francisco. Obviously, this is not new. It is horrifying to the community, but obviously not surprising. But what is surprising is the information we're going to be talking about today. And that is the fact that many of these crimes, although potentially sparked by racism, sparked by race, are not being charged as hate crimes. And this is the conversation we're going to have. We're going to learn a little bit about what's going on. We're going to learn a little bit about what we can do, and also why it's important to focus on what needs to change moving forward. Joining us today is the CEO of Asian Hall of Fame, Maki Shea, and the CEO of the Robert Chin Foundation. Thank you so much for making time for us and joining us to educate us, inform us, and tell us how we as a community can participate and stay engaged to move forward. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Silva. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me. This is a really important topic because whatever we do in terms of finding solutions for the Asian community is going to affect everyone else. It's going to affect Armenians and Jewish and other vulnerable groups in this country and around the world. So I think this is a really, really good conversation and a critical one to have at this time.
You know, for our listeners and viewers who are not as informed, who do not spend an incredible amount of time watching the news or reading the news as many of us do, who may be coming into this conversation wondering what is really going on, can you talk to us a little bit about, this is obviously not new, Asian Americans have been targeted for many, many years, but we have seen a spike, we've seen a rise, and not only the rise of the physical crime, but also the blatant nature of some of the crimes that we see. Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
So I think you said exactly right, that the blatant nature, the frequency, the brutality has increased, the violence has increased. Yes, this has always happened. It's not just because of political rhetoric. It's not just because of phrases that have been flung here and there in the media and in politics for the last few years. This has been going on for many decades. We can trace it all the way back even to Islamophobia during 9/11, trace it back to the LA riots, we still remember very well. We can trace it all the way back to even the Vietnam War, Korea War. They go all the way back to World War II, you know, where Japanese were forcibly incarcerated. And then you also have Filipinos fight under the American flag and still waiting for their benefits. And we go all the way back, you know, to the beginning of all this, which is in the 1800s during the gold rush and the sugar plantation building of that in Hawaii during the building of the railroad in California, where labor was forced and folks came over here from another country to help build our economy, and they were brutalized. They were given little tools to make something very, very difficult, like a railroad, and they were ridiculed and humiliated and many times murdered. But this was all okay. It was all seen as, hey, it's just part of what it means to be an Asian American. This is the Asian American experience. And it was really justified because, and a lot of people don't know this, it was justified because in 1511, Portugal colonized Malaysia. That was the first colonial port. One by one, each Asian country fell to a colonial power. A lot of people don't know that there are only 4 Asian countries that have never been colonized. One of them is Japan, who became a colonizer so that it wouldn't become colonized. Mm. So if you take a look at all of this violence, all of this oppression, now leading up to what's going on right now. What's going on right now is you've had this violence against Asians, harassment, assaults, theft, beatings, but they've been able to hide behind lesser offenses. For example, if you shout that you, oh, go back home and you're really mean to somebody and then you beat them, you can actually hide behind an assault, which is a lesser charge. In fact, 18 states don't even track hate crimes. 3 don't even have hate crime statutes in their laws. There was a situation that happened just a week ago in Maine where there was a mother and her daughter in a gas station. The doors were closed. This guy came up, started screaming at them, saying, "Chink, go home," and "This, you caused corona." They're Cambodian. They're not Chinese. Mm. So when the media heard about it, they picked up the story. The Maine attorney general, they came out and said, "This is terrible. We don't have hate crime statutes in our laws, but I declare this is a civil rights offense." But what did that guy get? A $2,000 fine. So what does that happen? He can pay the fine. They go out and commit the crime again. The point is, you can do all the reporting and all the tracking and all of the fundraising that you want, but if you're not able to deter crime and reduce violence, it's going to go nowhere. It's going to keep on escalating. And this is why this conversation is so important right now. We have an escalation of 3,800% of crimes against Asians. 68% of Asian hate crime victims are women. So all this violence against women and against Asians, it has to end. It has to stop.
Yes, and we have seen the systemic impact of such violence, of being targeted, right? We saw it in real life, in our streets in 2020 with the BLM movement, right? Black Lives Matter movement. And I think it's important for us to also understand a little bit about the nuances and the intricacies within the culture and the stereotype, right? Being Armenian, being a person of color, I know that there are nuances within my community, regardless of what we talk about. I think it's important for us to talk about and try to understand exactly, you know, what is going on in your hearts and in your minds. And there is this stereotype among those of us who are not Asian, right, who look from the outside, and it's been depicted in movies and series and in all kinds of arts and media, the quiet, quote unquote, right? The person who sort of turns the other cheek. Talk to me about where that's from. Is that true? Does that happen? Is it about time that we stopped doing that and spoke up? Because it's just not okay. And obviously it has all kinds of historic implications. So educate us a little bit about that.
You know, the American press and the American sociological circles, we call this a model minority myth. And that is something to think about when we're talking about this quest for perfection, always looking like we're okay, nothing is wrong, we can handle our stuff, don't worry. Mm. So that is one part of it that I do want to dive into, and you bring up an amazing point, which is, yes, this is actually what is camouflaging a lot of the crimes right now that people are not reporting because of this model minority myth that we want to make sure that we are okay to the outside world. But the reason why this exists is not just because it's an American thing or Asian American Pacific Islander culture. It's also because from the roots of colonialism, you had a power in your country who had the power to kill you and your family and your village if you did not comply. So this whole culture of silence, and even though Asians are 60% of the world, they've become the silent majority by force, because if they were not silent and turned the other way, and if they just reported it, they would actually be killed, they would actually have right. some consequences against their family. So now if we're taking a look at right now the model minority myth, what this does is it does a couple of things, Sova. The first thing it does is that it really blurs the distinctions between the Asians. Asians are not just Asian. I mean, there are a lot of different languages, cultures, food, customs. There's just a lot of, even religions are different within the Asian community. Mm. And there are also different kinds of Asian regions. There's Central Asia, which the Asian Hall of Fame has just accepted that. That's Kazakhstan. There's a lot of the stans. You know, there's Southeast Asia, which includes India. And then there's West Asia. Most of it is Arabic. 8 of them should be considered part of Asian Hall of Fame and what we recognize for excellence. So here's the thing is you have a lot of diversity And no one is championing the diversity. Everyone's saying, okay, you are one group and we're just going to target all of you. And because all of you should be perfect, so you're not going to care if we target you. Yeah, the second thing is that the model minority myth pits Asians against other races, other groups, because suddenly everyone's saying, wait a minute, Asians are doing just fine. They're either doctors or married to doctors. Shouldn't you guys be doing fine? Why don't you look at them? Oh, Jewish are the same too. They're either doctors or married to doctors. Armenians, oh, they're either millionaires or married to millionaires. Everybody should be fine. Nobody needs any assistance. Nobody needs any funding. Everybody should be fine. And why should we talk about you if you're fine? This is a key, that which leads me to the third point. It's that because of the model minority myth, you have competition within the Asian group, you have competition with Asians and others, and you have competition within people, in their families, in their communities. You know, there's suddenly this rush for the college admissions or for that job that your husband is fighting against someone else because they're not more perfect than you. You know, so it's really competitive, and it really creates and breeds this culture of silence. It breeds this culture of inequity, and it breeds this culture of distrust. The other thing that model minority myth perpetuates is that, oh, Asians are sneaky, or they're going to be deceptive because they need this thing, that the limited resource, that they're going to go after it. So there's a lot of depictions in media of the deceptive, sly, smart, but sneaky Asian.
Right.
And this is really, really wrong because, you know, we're actually not very, very quiet, and we're very, very nice. And I think that this myth of how we're perfect and we're going to turn the other way if you're going to beat us is really perpetuating a lot of violence today.
Yeah, and it's really important to talk about this this behavior, this thing that has been within our cultures that perpetuates silence, right? So if you don't say anything, and if you don't rock the boat, then you are the model citizen. If you don't say anything, if you don't rock the boat, then you are going to get the promotion. If you don't say anything, you don't rock the boat, then you are going to be treated right. And feeling like, and this isn't just the Asian American community, but just as minorities and immigrants, right? Feeling like you have to, it's not our feeling. We are made to feel like we do not belong, right?
Yeah,
so the society and the structure and the system makes the communities and the people who are not American feel like we don't belong. So then we spend the rest of our lives trying to prove that we do belong. Even those that have been born here, have served for our country and have been American for generations, still it is in our DNA, it is in the culture, it is in our way of life, of trying to consistently prove that we are worthy of the title of being American. And part of that is making sure that we don't rock the boat.
That's
and
right.
We don't speak up, and that we don't challenge the powers that be. And that's been, I guess, okay, and has served its purpose to a certain degree. But now I think we are all witnessing we are witnessing the collision of what happens when power goes into the space of abuse and submission, right, goes into the space of toxicity.
Yeah.
So you have abusive power and toxic submission, and now we have created a situation where people are actually getting hurt. And
you know, you said that so succinctly. The power paradigm propels violence. And if the power paradigm is such that inequity is perpetuated, inequality and access to equal opportunities is denied, you're going to have continued violence. It's not going to go away. You see that in Myanmar. You see that all around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that Asians are being targeted right now in America is not just in America, because Asians are everywhere. They're a majority of the world. You have 2 million living in Canada. Canadian media already reported that hate crimes against Asians 6 months ago surpassed all hate crimes in the United States. This was before the media in America even picked up on the story. There are 2 million Asians living in Germany, a lot of violence there. 2 million Asians living in France, 2 million living in Italy. 4.2 million Asians live in England. A lot of racism and violence there. Sao Paulo has 2 million Japanese living there. They're a little bit more peaceful because they're more integrated. So then when you're taking a look at some of these other countries that have a very strong Asian population and how one is being targeted, but one is being celebrated, we have a lot to learn.
Yeah, we do. And the importance of this is one impacts the other, right? So if the silence breeds the systemic inequity and inequality, and the systemic inequality and inequity fails to hold those who are in the wrong and are abusing either the system or just are blatantly committing crimes because of race, does not hold those accountable properly, which then perpetuates the consistent nature of how this actually works. This is why I wanted to go back to silence, because essentially the silence and the lack of consequences and accountability is what breeds what we've seen. And it's been happening in the Black community, it's been happening in the Armenian community, it's been happening in communities of color, now the Asian community, and we are seeing the rise of it. And now, you know, when you see a 75-year-old grandmother, you know, defending her life in San Francisco against someone twice her size who's coming for her, then you're shocked. How could this happen? That's not the visuals of that is not something that fits in our paradigm. But the reality is enough, right?
Enough is enough. And also there was a situation in New York where, you know, a woman was beaten in the ground and everybody just stood in shock, not knowing what to do. One store owner even closed his stores. I think he was let go for that being captured on video for just closing his doors and say, hey, I don't want to help this lady. Mm. And the silence is really prevalent. The silence is driving ignorance. And as you know, racism and hate, the root of all this is ignorance. So if, for example, you are a sixth grader going to school in the California system, like my child is, and then you come home and you say, well, we learned about the gold rush, of course. We didn't learn that the Chinese labored in it. We learned about World War II, of course. We didn't hear about the Holocaust or about the Japanese incarceration. So then if you're encountering this K through 12 and you're encountering this in the workforce, you're encountering this in the judicial system with law enforcement, guess what? Because there's no narratives embedded and integrated, you're going to stay silent, because why would it wouldn't benefit you to say anything? Because the system itself is silent, so you're going to stay silent. And I think now you're seeing the last 3 months, the silence is now broken. People are all ready to talk, and people are ready to say enough is enough.
Yeah, you know, I want to continue talking about this, but before we continue this, I want to ask you, how are you? How are you holding up?
You know what? It's been really difficult because I feel for the seniors. You know, I feel for the seniors. I know that they are looking at this in total shock and disbelief because they have lived through a lot. They've lived through wars. They've lived through recession. You know, they lived through also their own harassment and assaults. And I look at my mother, and then she's in total shock. She doesn't know what to think. Actually, she was convinced that I was killed. There was a hate crime victim in my town. You know, I live near Arcadia. And she saw that, and she thought it was me. She thought I was actually killed. She lives in Taiwan, so she was hysterical. You know, and then I think you're seeing how what's happening in America is also affecting what's going on overseas. And it makes me feel even more passionate about standing up and making a difference, you know, for our seniors and for our children. So for me, you know, it makes me sad, it makes me upset, but it also drives a new purpose for me to stand up and speak up.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah.
Okay, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. We're going to continue talking about this issue, a very important one, and we're going to learn a little bit about what we can do and how we can stay engaged and help each other further this cause. We'll be right back. I'm Silva Harapetian. Welcome to my show. We talk ordinary people, extraordinary stories, living life on their own terms.